Shadow.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you for welcoming me back again. I often think when I'm on my way over to a church to preach that they're all thinking, oh, I'm not in again. But if that's what you're thinking, I'm sorry. If you're not thinking that, it's good to be back. So this morning, we've got a bit of a full service. And as you can see from the board, we've got communion this morning as well. So there's a lot to get into the service, but nothing of it is just being put in for the sake of putting it in. So everything is to do with worshipping God and making sure we've got the right heart before God. So let's just start off this morning by opening in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come here into your house. Lord, we thank you that you've promised us where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be there in the midst. So this morning, we start off this service by saying, welcome, Lord Jesus. Welcome and have the freedom to move on with us. Lord, we come this morning because we want to hear from you. We want to hear the words that you want us to be able to put into our lives and put into practice. So Lord, today we offer ourselves to you and we say, in all that we sing, in all that we hear, in all that we take part in, Lord, we want you to have the freedom to move and touch us. So Father, as we offer this service to you, we ask that you will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to sing our first hymn together, which is one that you'll know very well. So we'll stand together and sing, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Thank you.
to it now. My chains fell off, my heart was free. Africanness, my chains fell off, my heart is free. It's an ever present, and my heart is free because of what Jesus did on the cross. That decision that we make for Jesus means that we can live this last verse, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. So we're going to have our first reading, which is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. Jesus says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was bad. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. So, you're going to get arrested, you're going to stand up and sing again now, and then we're going to have our second reading. So, light of the world, you step down into darkness.
Thank you.
prepare a sermon, I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to do this, it's quite nerve-wracking really. When you're preparing it, you sit before God for a while. And I looked at the lectionary for this morning, and these were the two readings, or two of the readings that were included on the lectionary. And I sort of thought, oh, I don't know, do I want to sort of, can I make something out of that? Can I do something with it? But God recently, or recent week, and probably a couple of months really, has been laying on my heart a message. And it's not a message for you, but it is for you, but it's not solely for you, it's for the church. And it's all about the gospel. It's all about teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel. So these readings fit right in because Jesus is talking to his disciples in parables using scenes. And I like the fact that Jesus taught using parables because it made it simple enough for everybody to understand what he was talking about. So some of the things that I want to just bring out. For a seed to grow, it has to be planted. A seed won't grow if you hold it in your hand or if you put it on a table or on a windowsill or on a ledge anywhere. It will just stay a seed. It has to be buried, it has to grow, and it has to be planted. And so I'm trying to see what's coming there. Yeah. So when we actually plant our seeds, when we go out and we plant seeds, some of the seeds will grow, and we get all pleased and delighted when we look at our gardens and we see the wonderful flowers and the plants that have grown up. And we can rejoice in the fact that our hard work, I say our hard work, in our house, the roots hard work, produces a lovely garden that people come and say, or they see pictures of, and they go, your garden looks lovely. And I'm very good because I always say, yes, Ruth does a wonderful job of it. I don't take any credit for the garden, and I'm upfront about that. But we plant things. I bought Ruth some plants a couple of years ago, and there were three different varieties of the same plants. Dicentras, if I remember rightly, bleeding hearts. And we've got some pink ones and some red ones and some yellow ones. And the pink ones came up and the red ones came up, but the yellow ones didn't. And it's quite disheartening sometimes because you think, well, they look lovely in the pictures, but they didn't come up. You can get discouraged with it, can't you? But we need to understand that when we sow seed, some seed won't grow. Some seed will not produce a harvest. Some seed will just disappear. So not all seeds will grow and produce a fruit. When you look at these two readings, we know these quite well, and I just want to help us to realise something. You are a farmer. Did you know that? In the Christian world, you are a farmer. You are called to sow seed, because we are called as church to produce a crop. And there's something really important about this. There's stuff going on, I think I might have said this to you when I was here with you last, but I think something is happening. I don't know if you know, if you've had this sense in the world, something's happening. God is stirring, there's things happening that I'm getting wind of, and I'm thinking, this is something, how do I explain this when I was talking similar message to our church? I said, well, when you go up to the, for instance, if you go to the Lake District, how many of you have been to the Lake District and done fell walking? It's great fun, isn't it? When you walk up that and you're absolutely shattered because the sun's shining, it's a beautiful day, and you get to the brow and you think, oh, we're there. And you get there and there's another brow. Oh, right, that must be the top. And all the people coming down are going to keep going, you're nearly there, and it's a great encouragement, and you struggle up the hill a bit more, and you get to that brow, and you get up top, and there's another one. And you keep, and it seems to keep on going. But I believe that God is doing something, and it's like just over the brow. And I think it's going to hit soon. I've seen some videos recently of a massive meeting of thousands of people on Trafalgar Square in the last 6 months. It's a big meeting. And apparently in France, they're baptising hundreds of people. There's something going on. God is beginning to move. And we have a duty to be a part of that. We are called to be his children, and we are called to sow the seed. So what is the seed that we should be sowing? Well, the seed that we should be sowing is the gospel. I think I might have one here. Right, so so what is the seed? Right, there we go. Right. So what is the seed? Now I'm going to go back to basics for you, mainly because this is what God laid on my heart this morning. So if you know all this, by all means go to sleep, and you can wake up when we have communion. But I just want to reinforce this. The first thing is, believe it or not, we are all sinners. We have all sinned. The minute you say to somebody, I've never done anything wrong, you've sinned. And sin is a word that in today's modern society we seem to have neglected, we seem to have come away from. We don't like to talk to people about sin. And sin, for those of you who may not know this, sin is basically everything you have ever done that is wrong, that does not honour God, that is sin. And people try to think, well, I've lived a good life, I've never stolen, I've never murdered, I've never, you know, I don't swear, and I don't watch naughty movies or anything like that. I'm a good person. And you can be a good person, but you've still sinned. And the sin is, you've not loved God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, because that's an impossible thing. So we automatically fail on the first of the Ten Commandments. So we're all sinners. Sorry to break bad news to you this morning. I'm doing it with a smile, right? But we are. We're all sinners. Because we're all sinners, Jesus came. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came and lived, and he was crucified, and he died. He did not leave that body on the cross. He died, he went through death, and he was buried. That's the gospel message. We are sinners, and Jesus came to take our sin. He came to die in our place, to remove from us our sin and to wash us clean. You got all this sort of Christian jargon that I grew up with in the 70s and 80s, have you been washed in the blood, which is enough to make people run wild, isn't it? If you said that today, you know, have you been redeemed, you know, have you given your life to Christ, you know, all these wonderful phrases, but they were great gospel sharing phrases. And I'm sure we can come up with modern versions of them, but they're absolutely true. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to live, to be crucified, the most awful death, I'm told. I've not been through it. And to die and to be buried on this earth. But the good news is, the end of the gospel message, as it were, is that Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, defeating sin and sickness and death, so that we might have eternal life. Now the verse, of course, everybody's going to go to at this point is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes on him will never die, but will have eternal life. I think that's a fantastic, one of the best known verses in the Bible. So Jesus died, Jesus rose from death, so that we might have life. And this is the key question. Have you made that choice? Because the hard thing is, and I say this to churches, and I've upset people saying this, it doesn't matter how many times you have been to church, that does not make you a Christian. You can come to church 2, 3, 4 times a week. That does not make you a Christian. In the same way, look at my figure. If I went to McDonald's 4 times a week, does that make me a hamburger? You see, you laugh, but actually it's the same premise, isn't it? If I go somewhere, it makes me part of that. If I go to a garage 4 times a week with my car, does it make me a car? No. There's a decision that has to be made. And that decision in coming to church is we need to be able to say to Jesus at some point, we have to say to him, Lord, I am sorry I've done my sin in my life. I am sorry that I've not followed you. Lord, I want to invite you into my life. Now that's the bit that makes you a Christian. When you say to Jesus, I invite you into my life and I want to live my life from this point on for you. That's what makes you a Christian. You can go to church, you can be good, you can do good things, but that's not going to happen. This is the gospel message. And it's as simple as that. And people come and go, oh, but there must be a catch. Well, in a sense, there is. In a catch, the catch is that you become a part of this weird family. You all right? You become a part of it, and we want you to share the gospel message. You were not saved so that you were safe. You were saved so that you could be a sower and you could produce a harvest. And I think one of the things that struck me recently is that as church, we do not preach the gospel anymore. We shy away from upsetting people. We like to talk about the God of love, but we need to remember that this God of love is also a God of justice. Things that we do have consequences in the earthly realm and in the heavenly realms. And eternity with God is something to really look forward to. Eternity in heaven. And I don't think heaven is going to be sitting in nice, neat little rows with angels playing harps and all singing hymns all day. But I really don't know what heaven is. But I hope it's not just angels playing harps all day. But to be in the presence of God, where actually there's a song I know called I Can Only Imagine. You know, will I be able to stand, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing your praises, or will I be able to speak at all? Because why? Because I'll be in your presence. It would be so awesome. The gospel message is easy for us to share if we can pluck up the courage and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. But that the rewards are wonderful. So we've sinned and we need to ask God into our lives. So this morning, I think I'm planting seeds. And it might be that it's falling into fertile soil. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that has not yet made that decision. Not the decision to come to church, but the decision to say to Jesus, I invite you into my life. And if there is, I might be planting into fertile soil this morning, because I've prayed hard about this morning. So Lord, if there's somebody there that needs to hear it, plant the seed so that it might grow. Not because it makes me look good, it's nothing to do with me. I was never told to save anybody. I was told to share the message. God does the saving. God does the convicting. I just have to tell people. Now, he's done a lot for me. And I go back over my life and talk about some of the things that I've been through, you know, where God has provided things at short notice and got permission for me. This being a Christian is not easy. I haven't always been as enthusiastic as I come across on a Sunday morning. That I went through a few years where I just felt like saying to God, that's it, I can't do it anymore. It's not an easy life. The Bible never, ever said it was an easy life. But it called me, and it's stirring in my spirit again. And I have a real desire for the gospel message to start being shared in churches. For the gospel message to be shared in this country, in this nation. And boy, do we need it. Don't we? We need it in this nation. We need to be praying for this nation. We need to be speaking to our friends and neighbours. We need to be showing what it is to be a Christian. I've got some very good friends who live in Portishead now, and when I was 11, I got invited to a church. A very long story short, and they befriended me. They took me into their family. I grew up in a single parent family. Mum went to work all the time and did what she could for us, but you know, this family took me into their family. They took me on holiday. First year I knew them, they took me up to the other side. And then for the next 7 or 8 years, they took me on a holiday every year. They took me to Spain, so I went abroad. It was wonderful. They gave me clothes that they got from a relative. I got these clothes that I was really pleased to wear. They never, ever told me what a Christian was, but they showed me. And actions speak louder than words. I can say all the right things, but I can go out of here and do everything that's wrong with them. My actions will speak louder than my words. The gospel message is for everybody, whether we like them or not. And you need to learn to love people, because I have a theory on this, that when we get to heaven, the ones that we go, oh, God, please, I don't want to see that person. They're going to be when you're going to be sat next to the party in heaven. So get on with them down here. It's going to be much better in heaven. So the question I'm asking really is, have you invited Jesus into your life? Have you at some point, can you remember making that decision? Because if you haven't, then you might be a good person, you might be a member of the church, you might be coming along to church with me, but you're not a Christian. And you won't get into heaven. We have to admit that we have done wrong. We have to ask Jesus to forgive us for said wrongs. And then we have to invite Jesus into our life. And only then can the seed begin to grow. I'm going to do something that I haven't done this for years. There's a prayer going to come up on the screen, and it's a prayer of commitment. I'm going to read it through. And if you're in a position where this morning you're thinking, okay, I thought I was a Christian, but maybe I haven't made that choice. Maybe you never thought you were a Christian. Maybe you're just here because you felt something prompted you to come in this morning. I'm going to put the prayer up, and the words will come up, and I'm going to pray. And if you are in a position where you want to invite Jesus to be a part of your life, to be in your life, then you can pray this silently to yourself, and then we'll pray, and then we'll move on. Lord Jesus, I'm really sorry for all the wrong things that I have done. And today, I want to turn my life around. Today, I want to live my life for you. So right now, I invite you into my heart. I give you the reins of my life. And from now on, I will follow you. Thank you for hearing my call. Welcome, Lord Jesus. I've got a song for you, which you're not going to sing. I did this song at our church the other week, and somebody said, no, you should have put the words up, you could have joined in. I played them the video of the group singing this, and they are really like having a party, but it's a song, and it's literally just called This Is the Gospel. And I love it. I absolutely think this song is brilliant. So, oh, you're going to play this, huh?
Passion for the strong with us.
It's I've got a folder of music on my computer now called Contemporary Worship, and that's in there. And there's another one called Honestly, I Think We Just Need Jesus. Brilliant song, absolutely lovely. Look at the words, and she talks all this stuff, and she goes, but honestly, I think we just need Jesus. And I think it's wonderful. I think I love church. I love some of the old hymns. I love the fact that we sing our message. I love the fact that we can praise God for that. But I think sometimes, if we want to, not impress, what's the word, if we want to attract young people, we need songs a bit like this, don't we? You know, we want our Bible. But I think when Wesley was writing these things, some of the Christians there were thinking, please, this, you can't have this in the church. You know, we don't like change, do we? But this message was clear. Hallelujah. Here and now, I once was lost, and now I'm found. So, you can talk about it. Oh, is it okay? So we're going to have a. They had to do it. We had to do two things because of you can't play sound from my computer. Not it's all technical stuff. It's never easy when I come, is it? So we're going to have a prayer for the president's session, which gives me a front, you know, Jackie's going to come and leave for us.
Loving Father God, we thank you that we are able to come here without fear of persecution. We pray for those in the world to have to hide their faith because they would be killed, they would be kicked out of their homes, out of their jobs, they would have to live in the hills. And we thank you that there are places like Open Doors that can help them. We pray for your world, Lord. We pray for the Middle East and Israel and Gaza. We pray for Ukraine and Russia and the peace summit that is supposed to be taking place very soon. Lord, we just pray that you will be with the leaders of these countries, that they can find a way to stop these wars, that they can have peace once more. Lord, we pray for this country, for the election and the candidates that are standing. Lord, we pray for us, the voters, that we will vote for the person you want us to vote for, that we can have a Christian government that will lead us honestly. And Lord, we pray for fathers everywhere, because it's Father's Day. We pray that you will bless all fathers. And we pray for those who it's the first Father's Day without their dad. We pray for all those who remember their dad today, especially. And Lord, we pray for this town of Kettering. We pray that there would be a revival here, that your word will spread like the weeds in a garden. We pray that we can be part of that revival. We pray for the three Baptist churches, Lord, that we can find a way of having ministers, a minister, which is whatever your wish, Lord, then show us that we can take part in it. And Lord, we pray for caring. We pray for everyone here that has come to worship you today. But we pray for those who are unable to come to worship today. And I ask that everybody just say a name that comes to mind that we can pray for at this time, please either say in your head or out loud.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we're going to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And after this, we'll take Gavin the Communion.
Thank you.
to communion, and I'm going to just read the passage of scripture, and then Paul is going to take over from me for this. It's something that as Christians we do, and we take very seriously. When all said and done, we're having this conversation with a lady over there, I've got their name as well. I'm terrible with names. But we do this with reverence, we do this with respect. It is just bread and wine. There's nothing magical about it. But what we do is remember what Jesus went through for us. And Paul shared these words: "For I received from the Lord, but I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself, therefore, before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself." So, you take over, Matt, because I don't know when you want to put it onto the prayer.
We don't turn to you, but get wrapped up in our own problems. don't involve you in our plans. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful creation, the birds, the flowers, the trees. Thank you for the rain and the sunshine, making everything grow. But Lord, we are so sorry that your lovely creation is being destroyed by our selfishness. Thank you, Lord, that we are free to worship you whenever we want, and we remember those who aren't free to do so. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you give us. We ask this through Jesus. Amen.
As we come around the Lord's table today, we just remind ourselves that on that last supper that Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take this, eat this in remembrance of me. So as we take the bread, we'll eat of it individually when we receive it.
Thank you.
body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and our bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and to work for your praise and glory. So we've just remembered what Jesus did for us, what the cost of our salvation is. We're going to close with the declaration of Jesus is Lord, creation voice proclaimed. Let's stand together and sing. Love in your life today and always.